Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. He said therefore, A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded their servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then the first came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Therefore, then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even for he that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So here we see the story of Zacchaeus, and we see a reaction on the part of the scribes and Pharisees here, and we see the parable of the nobleman taken here. Let's begin here with Zacchaeus himself. Now, we talked about Jericho and its storied history last time we got together. And so now, let's talk about this man, Zacchaeus. Well, we learn in verse number 2 that he was rich and that he was the chief among the publicans. Now, we already know what a publican was. So, as far as the Jews were concerned, he was an outcast from their society. As far as they were concerned, he was lower than a Gentile dog. And so the fact that the Lord is going to have anything whatever to say to him is going to outrage them. So, what do we know about Zacchaeus? Well, verse number 3 says, He sought to see Jesus who he was and could not because of the press. He sought to see Jesus. That word sought there is a powerful word. We might read over it quickly and not grasp the import of it, but what it means is to crave, to demand, or to desire. And not only that, it's a verb in the imperfect tense, which means that it wasn't a momentary impulse. It was something that he began to crave, and he continued to crave. It didn't let up. It wasn't just some whimsical thing. He had made up his mind that he was going to see Jesus, whatever it took. Well, there was a physical limitation here because he's not tall enough to see over the crowd. He's of short stature. And so if he's going to see Jesus, he's going to have to resort to some sort of extraordinary measure. And when you think about what he does, he casts down all pride. He's a big man in this city because he's rich. Those that would whisper behind his back, the backbiters, that he's a publican and a sinner, are the very same ones that are cashing in on the grift and graft that the Romans had appointed him to do. He was somebody in the community. He throws aside all of his dignity and climbs up into a sycamore tree. I'd say this is a pretty strong craving. It overcomes his desire to hold some social position in his city. He's going to cast all that away because he wants to see Jesus, who he is. Verse number 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. What is a sycamore tree? The scripture doesn't just say that he ran and climbed up into some tree of convenience, but the tree is named here. It's a sycamore tree. And you find this many other places in the scripture, but here it has a spiritual meaning, as it does in the other places as well. The Holy Spirit doesn't use words idly. So he climbs up into a sycamore tree, not just any tree, but a sycamore tree. And when Jesus begins to tell his parable, he makes a connection with this sycamore tree. What is a sycamore tree? What is it known for? This is why you always want to have a Bible dictionary handy. You know how long it takes you to go through the Bible? Jay Vernon used to do it in 5 years. If you look up every word, it might take a little longer than that. But at least then you'll know something. What do we know about sycamore trees? Well, we meet a sycamore tree somewhere else. It's just not called a sycamore tree. It's called another kind of a tree. This is sometimes called the Egyptian fig tree, the sycamore. Pardon? I didn't mean to.
Well, I have looked up my Bible, so I'm cheating a little bit, but it says an inferior fig tree.
Okay. That's right. It's an inferior fig tree. Is there some other place in the Bible where Jesus comes up to a fig tree and does something that seems kind of strange at first glance?
Walks up to it looking for fruit. There wasn't any fruit, so he curses it.
Yes. And what is the fig tree a type of in the scriptures? It's a type of national Israel. You find the type and anti-type thing once again that we're always talking about. Yes, it has a spiritual meaning. It's a type of national Israel. And the sycamore tree that Jesus goes up to and curses, why did he curse it? Because it didn't have any fruit. Well, now we come to an inferior fig tree. It's a fig tree, but it just isn't of the same class and caliber that most people would eat figs from. But this one is a little bit different than the other fig tree, which represented national Israel, in that it had fruit in it, absolutely. Yes, it had fruit in it. So Zacchaeus is up in the sycamore tree. Now, do you suppose that the Holy Spirit had anything to do with the scene that's unfolding before us? What happens here that doesn't happen under any other circumstance? Verse number 3. Let's talk about how the fruit got into the sycamore tree to begin with.
Well, oddly enough, the fruit didn't come from within the tree. It came from without.
Okay, that's a good point. I haven't thought of that. What else?
The media was a problem that day, too.
Excuse me?
The media was a problem in that day, too. He said he could not see him for the press.
There's always one. And here I came unprepared to deal with this. Okay, I'm back on my game here. All right, what has to happen here, which under any other circumstance could not happen, when we find Zacchaeus up in the sycamore tree?
I'm probably totally wrong, but I'm thinking it's in a sycamore tree. I'm not familiar with that. I think his stature, being smaller, made it easier for him to get up into the tree.
Yes, actually it has branches that are down close to the ground. So it was easy for him to scale it. It's almost like the way had been prepared for him.
Exactly.
And so you're coming down the right path here. There's more to it than that, though. What is the great difference between the Arminians and the Calvinists? Okay, and we're going to deal with that soon enough. What they fail to see is the Calvinist fails to recognize man's responsibility before God. They focus on the sovereignty of God to the exclusion of everything else. And what does the Arminian do? He focuses on the responsibility of man, not factoring in the sovereignty of God. But are both things taught in the Scripture? Oh, yes, and they're taught in balance in the Scripture. And so what do we see happening here? How does Zacchaeus end up in the sycamore tree?
He's got to see Jesus.
Yes, where did this craving come from? Most people don't crave God, do they? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that does righteousness. No, not one. We see here that God is calling Zacchaeus before he ever physically appears beneath the sycamore tree. He created in the heart of Zacchaeus something that is not natural to the fallen man. God has interceded here. The Holy Spirit is drawing this man towards Jesus. If you were to interview Zacchaeus before Jesus appears at the sycamore tree, and you asked him, why do you want to see Jesus? What do you think he might have said? Yeah, I don't know. I just need to see him. He has something that I need. Now, Zacchaeus, coming from the background that he came from, can you understand that if he were honest, not as the hypocrites that we'll talk about in a morning, but if he were honest, what would be his position before Jesus? He knows that he's not right with God. He knows that there's a great gulf between he and God. And if you asked him, well, what about the Pharisees? He might have said, well, they're much closer to God than I am. Even though I'm a Jew, I'm a publican, they're much closer to God than I am. But what's the truth of the matter? When God begins to draw him, he responds. This is human responsibility to respond to the call of the Spirit. That's a wonderful and beautiful thing. He's honest. And by the way, is Jesus being honest when he gives a bona fide offer of salvation to everyone? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? The entire human race. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is his offer of salvation bona fide to every human being? Of course it is. Okay, that having been said, he runs before in verse number 4 and climbs up in the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. That's interesting. How did he know that Jesus was going to pass that way? He might have had a pretty good hunch. Might have been Main Street. We don't know. But it's kind of interesting that he is at the exact point that the Lord is going to pass, so close that he can look up into the tree and see Zacchaeus. It's almost like this meeting was arranged, and it wasn't really arranged by Zacchaeus. Now we're starting to see the sovereignty of God come into the picture, because it was God that begins to create in his heart this hunger. What does the Scripture say? The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Zacchaeus knew he didn't have any. Verse number 4, and he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Does the scripture say that Zacchaeus said anything to Jesus before Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down? No. Do you have an idea that Jesus knew what he was looking for? Of course. These are practical lessons. We as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ can use this lesson. We can't go out with Madison Avenue advertising and talk people in to being saved. But we can ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to the right sycamore tree, can't we? Sure can. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Don't waste any time. For today I must abide at thy house. This is a little bit different than some of the other times that we see Jesus going to dinner with certain individuals. As a matter of fact, it's rather unique. Is it your habit to invite yourself for dinner? We ordinarily think that's rather impolite, but that's exactly what Jesus does here. It's almost like he knew what the response would be. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Not just visit temporarily, but he says abide at thy house, and he certainly will. He's going to physically leave, but there's going to be a change in Zacchaeus. Verse number 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He's filled with joy. He's glad. Can you think of a chapter in the book of John that kind of relates to what we see in practice here?
Chapter 2.
Okay, I was thinking of chapter 10, but... Yes. I did. What does John chapter 10 have to say that's germane to this story? My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And the voice of another they'll not hear. They hear not the voice of strangers. He's surrounded with strangers here. Every Pharisee, every scribe, every lawyer, every hypocrite is gathered all around here because the fame of Jesus is spread every place, and they want in on the action too. But not a word is recorded here that any of them had said anything directly to him, but they sure said some things about him. This is the difference, the responsibility of man. Do you think that if anyone in the city of Jericho beside the Lord Jesus and beside Zacchaeus had come to the Lord Jesus and said, will you tell me why you're here? Do you think he would have shared that with them? He sure would have, but they didn't ask. Not only did they not ask, but in verse number 7, and when they, and you'll notice I emphasized the word they when I read they, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner, behind his back. They're talking behind his back. Verse number 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. This tells you something about the character of Zacchaeus before he met the Lord Jesus. What do you get out of this concerning what sort of a person Zacchaeus was? Well, he was a publican, we know that. He's a tax farmer for the Romans. Yes, he appears to have been an honest one. Excuse me. The half of my goods I give to the poor. That would have been quite a lot. So we see that he's honest here. And then he goes on to say, And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation. If. What does that imply?
Perhaps he didn't.
His heart has been prepared by the sovereign God of the universe from the time this guy was born. He has scruples that all of those that are criticizing him did not have. He's an honest man. At least he appears to be. That would be a pretty bold statement here. If I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him not treble, but fourfold. As far as we know, he says this out in public in front of everybody. I'm sure there would be a whole lot of people that would love to take him up on that. If he had. Interesting. Verse number 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, which he was. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. That's the whole human race. The whole lot of us lost in the Garden of Eden. That's the theme of Romans chapter 5. It's not just our particular sins that got us into trouble. And this is a problem with the shallowness of a lot of gospel preaching, which tends to focus on the personal sins personally committed by a particular person, rather than to understand the whole race was doomed from the get-go. Pause to let this sink in. That's an important doctrine of Christianity. The Lord has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For lost it was. And in another message, I think soon, we'll be talking about the law of levirate marriage and a few other things that are like that when we discuss the book of Revelation again. And we'll come to see in greater detail what the Lord is saying here. That he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when they saw it, what do you think blinds the eyes of the Pharisees and the scribes? Something that Zacchaeus threw to the ground when he climbed up into the sycamore tree. His pride. Yeah. Pride and arrogance. That's what keeps most people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what do we know that better equips us to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ? The first thing we do is always pray for people that the Holy Spirit will begin to work in their lives and to soften their hearts. And then someone will go. And when they go, that person will be prepared. Might not find them in a sycamore tree. But is there some hope here? What's this business of the sycamore tree again? The Lord Jesus cursed it in another place because it had no fruit on it. Here we see that it did have fruit on it. Is that a sort of leaving the door ajar for something, considering Israel?
Still looking for the fruit.
And all Israel shall be saved in a single day. It's the same thing we see in Genesis chapter 3, where God doesn't close the door on Adam and Eve, he leaves it ajar. Many impediments in the way, but he leaves it ajar. He leaves a way for Adam and Eve to come and to seek God. Let's pray.